But now let us turn to God's Word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. That's on page 986. We'll begin with the second verse and we'll read through verse 10 of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. Hear now God's Word. We give thanks to God always for all you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of the reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Thus we've read 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 10. Our scripture reading now will come from Nehemiah chapter 12. We'll begin at verse 27 and we'll read into chapter 13 and end at verse 3. That's on page 408 if you're using your Pew Bible. Beginning with the 27th verse of the 12th chapter of Nehemiah. Hear now the word of our Lord. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the districts surrounding Jerusalem and from the villages of the Naphtalites, also from Beth Gilgal and from the region of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall and appointed two great choirs that gave thanks. One went to the south on the wall to the Dung Gate, and after them went Hoshea and half the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and certain of the priests' sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shimei, and the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, son of Zakur, son of Asaph, and his relatives, Shemaiah, Azrael, Milalai, Gilalai, Maya, Nethanel, Judah, and Hanani, and with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. And Ezra the scribe went before them. And at the fountain gate they went up straight before them by the stairs of the city of David, at the ascent of the wall above the house of David to the water gate on the east. The other choir and those who gave thanks went to the north, and I followed with them, with half of the people on the wall and above the tower of ovens to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim and by the gate of Yeshanah and of the fish gate and of the tower of Hanel and the tower of the hundred and to the sheep gate, and they came to a halt at the gate of the guard. So both of the choirs of those who give thanks stood in the house of God, and I and half of the officials with me, the priests of Eliakim, Messiah, Menamin, Micaiah, Elaniah, Zechariah, Hananiah with trumpets, and Messiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzi, Jehonanan, Malchijah, Elam, and Ezer. And the singers sang with Jezariah as their leader. And they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy, and the women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard from far away. On that day the men were appointed over the storerooms, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather them into the portions required by the law for the priests and for the Levites according to the fields of the towns for Judah, rejoice over the priests and the Levites who ministered. and they performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors of the singers, and they were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and all the days of Nehemiah gave daily portions for the singers and the gatekeepers. And they set apart that which was for the Levites, and for the Levites set apart that which was for the sons of Aaron. And on that day they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and in it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever enter the assembly of God, for they did not meet the people of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. And yet our God turned the curse into a blessing. And as soon as the people heard the law, they separated from Israel all those of foreign descent. Thus we have read from the 27th verse of Nehemiah 12 to the 3rd verse of the 13th chapter of Nehemiah. Let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We ask that you would bless it and minister to us with it. Teach us from it. Edify us. Help us. As we know, there's power in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've seen Nehemiah in this book come back and build the wall. We've seen the trials and the troubles of building the wall. We've seen the wall finally be completed, and how that then brought about a reformation among the people, and how they renewed the covenant and they praised the Lord and they ordered themselves according to the word of God. And now we see one final service of thanksgiving, where half of the people go and they get on the wall on that side and half go to the other side, and they sing praises and give thanks back and forth. They read the word of God and they obey the word of God, and they sing praises to their great God who's delivered them. And in this last incident, Nehemiah teaches us much about the importance of giving praise to our God. That praising God is right. It's appropriate. It's appropriate and right when we've seen Him work, as Nehemiah and the people here clearly had. A wall broken down for decades. Vast array of enemies, powerful political enemies. All defeated before God. The work which seemed so great, completed. Think about this. The people are now climbing up the walls that were formerly broken down and impassable. They are mounting the visible and tangible proof that God has worked among them. And they are standing on it and singing praises to their God. It's a powerful image. They are letting the glory of God be known. They are giving praise where it rightly belongs, confessing that this wall is built not by the strength of their own hands, but by the strength of God's. And it's a fact that's known even to the enemies of God, that it was the Lord who worked. And the people of God are coming out and singing their heartfelt praise. When we give thanks, it should come from that heart full of thanksgiving. It's right for us, when our hearts are full and bursting with thanksgiving, to stop and sing God's praises. It's right to stop our lives and say, I must praise God now. For whatever it is that God has done in our life that's made us so thankful. We ought not try to say, well, I need to take a mental note that when the right day comes around, or when I've got enough time, I can go praise the Lord, or maybe I'll remember that on Sunday. No, stop at that moment and say, praise be to God. Look what He's just done. He works in our lives, and we should give Him thanks. Our hearts should overflow, and we should pray and sing the praises of God. After all that we have has come from His fatherly hand. Nothing comes by chance. And if it came from God, then He deserves our thanks for it. And we should praise Him as the one who gives, and the one who has given us what we have, as the provider and the sustainer, as the God who is in control. Our thanksgiving ought to include God our Lord and His praise. It is always right to give God praise. It's His due. He's worthy of that praise no matter what has happened in our life. The praise of God and worshiping Him ought not be sidelined to only certain times of the day or certain days of the week. There's never a wrong time to sing the praise of God. We should always be ready to break into His praise. Think about how often it happens in the Bible. You can't read the letters of Paul without seeing him seemingly breaking into praise. He's sitting there discussing the greatness of Jesus Christ, and then boom, he's going to break into a praise of God. He's going to break into a discussion where he says, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ." And he has to stop and praise his God. You can read in the Old Testament, even the men of Judah once went into battle singing the praises of God. And they let the singers go first because they were praising God all the way. And when they got there, the battle was already over. The people had turned on each other and they had already killed each other. They didn't even have to fight. Jonah breaks into praise of God and recognizes salvation belongs to the Lord when he's in the belly of a whale. You don't have to wait until you're actually delivered to praise God. You can praise God in the midst of troubles like Jonah. He's been eaten by a fish. And he still praises God. It's always good to give God praise. And it's to be done by His people. The reason we added the first three verses of chapter 13, because I think it really fits with this chapter. It's something else that happens on that very day, on that day where they've mounted the walls, on that day where they're praising God. They also realize that on that day, it's the people of God who ought to be singing. No Ammonites, no Moabites, no people who don't really believe in God should enter the assembly of God and pervert the praises of God. Those who don't believe ought not praise His name. The Lord will not have His name taken in vain, and you should not take His name and sing His praises if you don't mean it. This is why we guard the table. This is why we make sure that only people who are saying, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, and that His body was broken for me, and His blood was shed for me," can come to this table. If you don't believe it, don't come. The worship of God is for His people. Those who hate God or care not for God ought not pretend to be the people of God, and they should not be allowed to add their unbelief into the praises of God's people. Because the praise of God is important. It's not only right, but it's important. It's not a minor thing. Notice the care that goes into the celebration, the responsive singing, the appointing of people to look over the offerings in the storerooms, beginning in verse 44. Making sure the Levites and the singers were taken care of so that they can properly lead the people in the praise of God. The care is put into all of that because it's important. It's not a minor thing. The gathering of people to worship the thrice holy God is important. And it includes not just the singers, but the cymbals and the harps and the lyres. Trumpets, instruments used to praise the Lord. All the stops are being pulled out here. That's why it says all Israel, according to verse 47, gave to the daily portions for singers and other helpers with praising of God. They understood it was important enough to be supported by their gifts and offerings. That it was done, notice, according to the command of David and Solomon in 45. They were following God's word as they were doing it. The praise of God is important. And freely giving to support that praise is then right. Just imagine it for a minute. Half the people on one side, on the east, half the people on the west, singers and trumpets and lyres in each side, singing back and forth to each other. A call and response of praise. Half the city singing over the city the praise of God, and when they're done, the other half, led by good singers and great musicians, praising back. They certainly used psalms. They may have even written new songs at that point, but they were singing. Praise be to the holy name. It would have been an amazing sight and an amazing sound. One that surely would have made an impression on the people and the children that were there. And it's written down here in Nehemiah so that the future generations can know we praise the Lord on this day. And we did it according to the commands of David and Solomon, and we did it with these people leading us, and we gave God great praise for His great work. Remember this day. In faith, the people of God mounted the wall. They didn't do it frivolously or lightly. It came from a heart that was overflowing with thanksgiving from the great work of the Lord that they had just seen done in their midst. And they called upon the Lord. They called upon His name and they sang His praises, not in vain, but with a heart full of faith. It was serious but joyful business. Verse 43, they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard from far away. It was important and it was serious, but it was joyful. Those things aren't opposites. Sometimes we think that today, that if we're going to have a joyful time and a good time, that it can't be a serious time. But no, we can be serious and follow the rules and commands of God that laid down by David and Solomon and still do it with a heart full of joy and great rejoicing. Something can be both solemn and joyful. And God had worked in their hearts. Caused them to rejoice with great joy that day. And the people heard it from far off. The praise of the Lord could be heard, not just in Jerusalem, but all around. It was heard far away. The joy of Jerusalem heard far away. And I think Nehemiah records that fact here because the praise of God is also evangelistic. People outside of Jerusalem could hear the praise of God. Think about the situation again for a minute. The governors of all these other regions surrounding Jerusalem, they were against Nehemiah. They were against the wall. And now it's finished. And now the people are on top of that very wall, singing praises and glory to their God. All of their intimidation and threats and political dealings and lies failed. They tried to tempt the people of God and destroy the leaders like Nehemiah, yet it failed. And we were told earlier they fell in their own eyes because they knew they had been bested by God, and now they hear the praises of God ring forth. They had opposed Him. They wanted nothing to do with him, but he is being praised from the very thing they tried to stop. The joy of the Lord can now be heard for miles and miles. Those people who oppose the work can hear the people of God. They can hear the name of the Lord being high and lifted up by a large number of hearts who are clearly singing out of their joy and their faith. You can imagine that the enemies of God would have lost heart. And maybe the Lord would have used that to break some of the hardness of their heart. Maybe some people came and said, yes, that God is great. Yes, that God can do it all. Perhaps I ought to follow that God. Because the praise of God can be evangelistic. People can be converted when they see and hear the praising of God, or come to a worship service and be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to call it doxological evangelism. People who came to faith because they saw the worship of Jesus and they heard the praises being sung of the Savior. They sat under the preaching and the singing and the ministry of the Spirit during worship, and the Lord can use it to convert their hearts. People seeing and hearing the people of God gather to give their Savior praises communicates a powerful message about who Christ is, about the importance of His work in our lives, as well as it shows the people who live by a different set of priorities and hopes. Give them, the people of the world, a glimpse into something else. A glimpse into the heavenly places. Into the glimpse of the work of God. We don't know if anyone came to faith when they heard the joy. It's not told to us here. But we do need to always remember that the worship of God can change hearts of those who have not yet followed Christ. That gathering together as the people of God is an outward demonstration of our faith, and the singing of His praises can change lives. So we ought to ask ourselves, as we see Nehemiah lead this service, Nehemiah on one side, Ezra on the other side, leading this praise, we should ask ourselves, are we like these people? Are we characterized by joy? When we come together to sing the praises of God, is it from a joyful heart? Are we here because we have to be, and out of a sense of duty? It's expected of me. Or are we here because God has worked in our life? Because Christ has washed our heart clean? And that we have to come back and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Are we here because we believe that His body was broken for me and His blood shed for me? Are we characterized by joy? Are you giving Christ glory for His work in your life? Do people know that Christ is your Savior? Do you praise Him? Or do you try to hide the praises at a certain time in the morning on Sundays? Does His praise flow from our lips? To say, look what God has done. What has God wrought? Look at Christ and His love for me. Are we taking the giving of praise to Jesus Christ seriously? Or do we just go through the motions? In a few moments when you sing, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, do you mean it with your whole heart? Are you unashamed at telling others of the Savior in your praises? Do you sing it softly through the gloom when the heart for mercy craves? Do you believe that you'll sing in triumph over the tomb? Jesus saves. Singing praises to God ministers to our soul as well as to those who might hear us. It's what our great Savior deserves. Don't take lightly the praising of our God. He doesn't. Neither should we. And this morning we also want to ask ourselves, do we believe? Do we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins? In a few moments, we're going to be invited to come to the table. And the act of coming to this table is a public proclamation that you believe Jesus Christ died for you. That you believe Jesus Christ hung on that cross and says, "It is finished," about paying for your sins. If you believe that, then come. The table is for you. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, thank You. Thank You for Your wondrous gift of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank You for the merciful grace. Thank You, Lord. For Your work in our lives. For the Holy Spirit's work in our heart. Thank You for the time on the cross. The suffering done for me. We confess You now. And trust in Your promises. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.